This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
Baseball is back. The 2025 MLB season is upon us. So what's the easiest way to keep up with all the big stars, top scores, and fun storylines from the night before? What's the solution? Is there a secret?
Chocolate milk and squats. That's a secret.
Not quite, Pete, but there is the Morning Lineup podcast, a quick, less than 10-minute morning highlight show from MLB. It airs Mondays through Fridays on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You bring the chocolate milk, we'll bring the baseball news.
Do you think heading into this series, Edmonton is Deadmonton?
I like
877-881-1053. We're actually going to talk about something totally different here, but if you want to ponder that. So I wanted to talk about the Rangers and the Yankees, kind of. But my bigger picture thing here is Brett Boone every week on Sean and RJ. You heard him earlier today. Aaron Boone, siblings going head-to-head. He even said, I get why people are interested in that story, as I don't quite know what Corey's doing on the
fan
cam.
I felt like a cat, you know, a cat pawing or something. There was a hair or something on my mic. Yeah, back to you, Kevin.
My question is, what did you dominate your sibling at? 877-881-1053. Hit us up on the text, the YouTube, or the Twitch. But we do also have to admit, go ahead and give me cut number one because the Rangers lost 5-2 yesterday.
1-1. Well, that's hit a long way. Fair or foul is the question. It is a fair ball, home run into the second deck down the right field line. 10th home run of the season for Ben Rice. It gives the Yankees a 1-0 lead.
I think you got more what we've gotten used to as a representative start over the years from Patrick Corbin. 5 innings pitched, 3 earned runs. So not too bad, but not good either.
You expect that that's going to be the case against good teams.
Yes.
And that he's probably going to be potentially sparkling against bad teams. And
I could see that.
Somewhere in the middle against me. Like, I feel like you're going to get good outings because Mike Maddux is a good pitching coach. So you're going to get the best you can out of him. And yeah, that might be the best you can for him against a team like that.
I think that's fair. Now, the Rangers, they were getting hits, but they really struggle with runners in scoring position. Last night, they end up getting the Heim home run in the ninth, and so they lose 5-2. But the bigger question is, what do you dominate your siblings at? And this is the kind of energy I'm looking for this morning from the 817. Only one out of five of us that hasn't been divorced.
Oh, wow.
Domination.
Okay.
That's true.
My sister is happily married with two amazing little daughters.
So she's 1-0 at marriage.
Yes.
So are you.
I am 1-0 at marriage as well.
Now, if you extended it out to engagements, I'm 1-1. But luckily, we don't keep as much track of those records. So 1-0 at marriage so
far. I'm 1-1 too. Mm-hmm. But I married the person I proposed to twice.
Oh, huh. The first time it didn't work out.
First time it was like a promise ring kind of thing. Gross. And then we both were like, all right, you're off at college and I'm over here running the bars. So let's just see how things work out in the future. And then, and here we are in a great, loving friendship relationship that we love with a new dog, three kids who, those kids.
What is happening right now?
I am sorry.
You got to be 0-1 in marriage?
We are on radio.
Okay.
Live right now.
Side hockey question. Do the Oilers have some dumbass song like the Winnipeg Jets did going into
We haven't found
series?
It yet.
No, oh, not.
That doesn't mean that they don't have one. All right. They are a Canadian team.
As of yet. From the 972, I'm the younger sibling. I utterly dominate versus my brothers. Literally turned him in to my son. Wow. So pretty much everything. And that is another thing. Another person texted him from the 469. Oh, man. Literally everything. Now, my sister and my mom will try to tell you that this was a negative thing. All right. I dominated my sister at games of skill and chance. Much like this. So when we were little, I set up a pyramid of those disposable paper cups in the bathroom with the cup on top being turned right side up. So my mom and sister claimed that this was negative. What I said was if she was able to get a quarter in that cup and it stayed up there, she would win my TV. That is a heck of a value.
That's an amazing prize.
Is that my fault that she could not do that and ended up losing a lot of quarters? No.
Oh, hold on. They were her quarters?
Yes.
And you got to keep the quarters she missed?
That's how a game works.
You didn't say that.
You don't go to the fair and they're like, here's four basketballs, Corey. Give it a shot.
You didn't say that, though.
That's how fair games work.
But you didn't say that it was a fair game, that you were collecting the quarters. Did you tell her that beforehand?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, now you didn't tell me that.
I made it clear that every quarter she missed became mine, much like somehow I get blamed for my sister breaking her gumball machine, despite the fact that she is the one who recklessly threw it off the stairs and
she
expected
trusted
me
you
to
by
catch it.
You said, hey, throw it down to me. I'll catch it.
I was like six.
And then you jumped out of the way.
That was an irresponsible decision by her. Somehow, we get family get-togethers. That's fun, as if I am to blame for this.
It sounds, Kevin, much like you, that I also dominated my sister at the prank game, as I would frequently invite her up into the fort, in which on her ladder climb up the fort, and her husband's probably listening right now, I would have an entire bucket full of pecans. And so while she's climbing the ladder, I would just dump the pecans onto her.
That feels way worse than what I did.
The Looney Tunes scene, what the heck?
However, I also had a secondary bucket of pecans up there for when she ran off to go tell my mom, and I could just toss them at her.
How many pecan trees did you guys have?
We had huge two pecan. I told you. I had two pecan trees. I would, as she's running back to the house, there I am just shoo, shoo, shoo. And also, one night, I was laying in bed, and I saw her get up. Like, my room was next to hers. Mm-hmm. I saw her get up and go to the bathroom, and on her way back, I went, Kaylee. And she came into my room and got in my face and was like, Corey, and I acted asleep. And so she was like, I could see the panic in her face when she walked off. And then I just would continue to do that for the rest of the night. Kaylee. And she'd come out and she'd be like, Mom, somebody say my name. She was so scared. And then she was scared of alligators because I told her there were alligators on her floor at nighttime and she had to stay in her bed. So I feel like I pretty much destroyed her at psychological warfare.
Okay, man. I cannot wait until we get to Alec. Now, this one's a little tricky. By volunteer, did they mean owned? Because this text says, I volunteered three houses and she's only one. She is renting now. Now, I want to think that volunteered is supposed to be owned, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe so.
And I get that from
maybe that's different terminology in English.
Could be. I just don't know it. From the 704, I've dominated my siblings at weird sports like ping pong, cornhole, and dominoes. From the 817, I dominate my siblings in prison record because I'm the only one that hasn't been to jail.
Oh, dang.
Now, somehow this came up with my wife yesterday. Oh,
hold
yeah.
on. Maybe they didn't go to jail. Maybe they went to prison. And they're like, ooh. I've been to prison and my brother.
It does say siblings. Prison. Yeah, okay. So right,
My bad.
And so we were watching some crime something or other that I forgot what it was yesterday.
Made a huge
and
impact.
The person. Oh, no. Yeah. We were watching Your Friends and Neighbors. Oh. And so they were.
I haven't seen the most recent episode.
Okay. Well, it's just about like the criminal process.
I gotcha.
People getting a mugshot taken and fingerprints. And I told Jess, I was like, I definitely got my fingerprints taken, but I don't think I got a mugshot. But like, that's not part of the record anymore because it was when I was a juvenile, except for the fact that I've talked about it numerous times.
Would you want a mugshot?
On air. No. Like, I don't want to be one of those people who's trying to have like a good looking mugshot so you can take over the internet. Like, I always think that's weird.
What is it? Mugshot shorties on Instagram?
Yes.
That Lucius is always talking about.
Yes.
I'm telling you, dude.
Look, I'm not trying to bang somebody when they come out of prison.
I'm not either. I'm just trying to see what prisoners look like.
Same.
That is not what all... All right, fair. From the 469, growing facial hair. My sisters never could get it started. Congratulations. Oh, there's definitely some ladies that can grow facial hair.
My sister can't grow hers either.
All right. Alec Now, this is in honor of the Boone Bowl currently going on. The Rangers are losing 1-0 in the series. What do you dominate your siblings at?
The unfortunate thing for me is I only have one sibling. I have an older sister that's 3 years older than me. And because of that, just by nature, she was better than me at everything growing up. She was the smart kid, the valedictorian and everything. So any of those skill-based games and stuff, she absolutely whooped me at. And whenever I finally got old enough and started growing and whatnot, she moved out of the house. So it's like, that's not even fair. She had the right idea the whole time that, hey, you know, she didn't predict the divorce, I don't hope. But, you know, she said, I'm going to go ahead and just move out because, you know, he's hit high school. So he's starting to grow finally because that never happened. And, you know, should probably get away before he starts getting pretty good at stuff. But the one thing I always had her number in was Mario Kart.
There you go.
I could always count on that. Like mirrored mode and all of that. The time trials, I was breaking all of her records on her account just to annoy her. I was incredible at Mario Kart. I still am. You don't want the smoke. Don't go to the Frankel and Frankel injury attorney's text on asking for the smoke because I will give it to you. But that was the one thing I had on her. Everything else, she was so much better than me at everything that I'm just bitter.
Now, I'm going to walk you through the progression of how the fan text usually works. We're going to go from a very grounded answer. The 817, I'm the younger brother. I dominated my older brother in football and hockey. Though, to be fair, he owned me in basketball. To the fun answers. From the 972, I dominated at making our parents grandparents. I had four children. My siblings have no children.
Oh, man.
To the...
Is that a choice?
Really? Well, sometimes. Sometimes not. To the really, really sad ones. From the 469, I'm 40. My brother only made it to 17, so I'm dominating. Lest you think this is only one. The one immediately after that.
It sounds like Bobby.
My twin died at birth. So I won at life.
I mean, that's a fact.
Oh, man.
Did you... Never mind.
I don't know. That's all the information I have.
One of my... Four Christmases isn't the greatest movie. But Vince Vaughn has a line where he finds out Reese Witherspoon had a twin. And she was large growing up. And he was like, did you eat the baby in the womb? Did you get superpowers from that? And I think that's the most hilarious thing. Because it was a joke and that was a joke zone. This is not a joke zone, though. This is a serious conversation. Congratulations on your victory.
From the 806. This is kind of how I feel. Sorry, boys. Oldest brother had two girls. Middle brother, two boys. Wife and I had a girl and a boy, therefore I win. I did admit before we had Noah.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
Baseball is back. The 2025 MLB season is upon us. So what's the easiest way to keep up with all the big stars, top scores, and fun storylines from the night before? What's the solution? Is there a secret?
Chocolate milk and squats. That's the secret.
Not quite, Pete, but there is the Morning Lineup Podcast, a quick, less than 10-minute morning highlight show from MLB. It airs Mondays through Fridays on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You bring the chocolate milk, we'll bring the baseball news.
I frequently told my wife I would like one of each. So I was really hoping that we had a girl or like twins, a boy and a girl or whatever. From the 940, Corey, you're a mean brother. Funny, but mean.
Hey, I will tell you this. When I got her a job at my restaurant, she was not good at first. She was very bad and slow.
Was she afraid you were still throwing? You were going to throw?
I threw Jello shots at her. But I also one night it was very, very busy and I went in on her, you know, just let her know. And I'll tell you what, dude, she became the most trusted waiter on my staff. By the time everything was all said and done, she was the one person that I was like, I know for a fact I can give her all the tables and she can do this. So I made her better. And she thanks me for that now.
Does she?
Yeah.
If I ask.
We actually had a conversation about it the other night and she was like, no, it was by the time we really got cooking, I was really good and it was because of you.
Okay. All right. So I like that.
And I wanted the best for her.
Okay. All right. There you go. Rangers, Yankees tonight, game two.
Maybe.
Supposedly 5:30 pregame, 6:05 first pitch, and the game tomorrow is supposed to be at 11:35 a.m. with pregame at 11 o'clock.
I've been looking forward to this game for 2 months, all right? This 11:35 first pitch.
I wonder why.
Stay tuned. It might not totally work out the way that some of us
think. We might have to plan three shows tomorrow.
Or hope that it could. All right. Another bit of sports news for you. I know you brought up the Madden movie the other day. Did you see that an actor allegedly quit because in the Madden movie, there is use of the N-word and full nudity? Now, the studio...
Do you know the actress?
I don't.
Okay, all right.
It just says a supporting actor quit just 2 weeks into production. The studio says that the allegations are being twisted and they dispute this. And they said it was actually the actor's idea to use the N-word after having a conversation with the director. But then the word wasn't used. It would be fascinating if that person quit because they didn't use the word and that's what they were making their stand on. You wouldn't guess that nowadays, but perhaps that is what's happening.
Do you remember The Longest Yard?
And unfortunately, there was
the Nelly and Stone Cold scene in the library, and Stone Cold was in it. He was face to face with him and said it multiple times. And in my mind, I'm like, in real life, I don't know how that conversation went before it, what it was like after, because it felt like Stone Cold like really was like he was in the acting mode, you know? And it felt like Nelly were like, how did he refrain? It is acting, right? But it still feels like a weird thing whenever it's in those movies. It's just jarring.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Except for with Quentin Tarantino. Seems like he really goes out of his way to put that a lot in all his scripts. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day, plus the cost of doing jersey business in the NFL coming up next on The Fan.
Jersey.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Remember, this Friday, the Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour makes its way to Firehouse 3 in Mansfield, 3100 East Broad Street. They will have Whataburger breakfast there, and also, while supplies last, so get there quick, giving away a one-of-a-kind Sean and RJ t-shirt. What an extravaganza. You can be there. Peyton can't. So I would recommend that you make your way to Mansfield.
Peyton can't because he's not going to be here. Is he in Vegas?
Yeah, somewhere.
That means he can't.
Easy. Awesome. Generate. That's awesome. I bet Alec is more part of their show than Peyton is at that point.
Tough to argue against that.
We'll see.
Right now. Always tough to argue against this.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful.
One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. My name is Alec Medford, the pride of Mansfield, Texas, as people call me. 877-881-1053, the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line, Twitch and YouTube to answer the question of the day today. And a side question, will I invade the morning show Friday morning? You got to show up and find out. We'll see. Because Firehouse number 3, I just drove by it yesterday. It's conveniently 10 minutes away from my house. Sounds like a perfect storm for me to go invade the morning show. We'll see. This Friday, 6 a.m. Be there. I might. Who knows? But the question of the day today, plus the cost of doing jersey business in the NFL. Always wonder about some of these, you know, highly slotted draft picks that really, really desperately want to keep a jersey number tradition going. How much do they have to pay? Well, we'll hear from Ashton Genty here in a little bit on what it took to keep number 2. But the question of the day is going to circle around the NFL since we did get the news that the tush push is here to stay in 2025. It was a 22-10 vote in favor of keeping it. So I don't know if it was the magic of Jason Kelce being there in the room with the owners when they voted on it. I don't know what went wrong. But as Kevin pointed out earlier, the betting odds said, this thing's going away.
Yeah.
And that did not happen. So I do think that the tush push is stupid. It irritates me. And I probably only think that, fully admit it, I probably only think that because the Eagles do it, and the Eagles do it so well. If it was any other team outside of the division, I probably couldn't care less. But what is one rule in sports that you absolutely hate? 877-881-1053, or maybe even a lack of a rule. Maybe there's something that you think needs to be regulated a little bit more. It can be in any sport. I'll let you cover as many bases as you want.
The number of timeouts NBA teams get.
Oh, that's a good one.
And I guess you could extend this to college basketball. I know the answer is not 14, but if you get down into the last 2 or 3 minutes of a game that's like a 6 to 8 point game, and it's just nothing but foul, free throw, timeout, foul, free throw, timeout, it just drives me insane. And you feel like the team has taken 4 timeouts and they're like, well, they only got 6 left now. That's the way it feels. You had too many timeouts.
Pass interference.
That's fair.
I just hate pass interference in general because nobody really knows. It's very vague. It's got a very gray area that pass interference can be. And why do we have reviews to get it right? And with pass interference, it's like, it's objective. You know, he can kind of do whatever he wants with that call. And so that drives me nuts because you want to get everything right every other place.
Yeah.
But with pass interference, you're just like, it looked like he was holding him somewhere.
There's a lot of really, that's kind of the direction I go when I start thinking about rules, is just some of these that aren't really defined. And that's why my answer is the check swing in baseball. How there is no real definition of what is a check swing or what isn't. It's just if the umpires on the field at that given moment think it was. There's no actual definition of what a check swing is.
Or if he was really even paying attention.
Exactly.
There's how many times do you think that umpire is looking and his brain is talking about something else and he doesn't even notice if it was a check swing or not? And he's like,
wow.
Yeah.
No, he didn't go.
He's just like, oh, that curveball was really close. I don't know. I'm going to go ahead and say strike. Oh, wait,
Does that mean another umpire, you have like you're buddied up with another umpire who like kind of give you a thumbs down or thumbs up? You're like,
that would be amazing. Okay,
they're like, yeah, he wasn't paying attention.
He sit there and he's just like, look at the bouncies up in row 3 over there.
Oh my goodness.
Huh. I feel like that's how you think, Majors.
Somebody had a basketball at the game is what I was saying.
I don't think that is what you were saying. Do you promise that's what you were saying?
877-881-1053. Taunting from the 940. Grow up is what they say.
I like that reasoning. I like that.
If he was taunting me. Get over it.
Yeah. I love the pettiness of that. I'm here for it. Let's see. The infield fly rule from the 817.
It's very obscure.
Yeah.
It's very it is one of those that Choppy said yesterday, you know, it's well defined. And you're like, is it though?
Yeah.
Because when it goes up in the air, a lot of dudes are just like, I don't know. I guess I should run.
See, I think what we got to on that was RJ said, it's well defined by me.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, hold on. That's not a real rule.
That makes sense to RJ.
And he's like, of course it is.
If it makes sense to him, then it makes sense to everybody. I mean, that's how I like to think sometimes too.
Targeting ruined college football from the 817. I think Carter is the most college football out of everybody
here. He might care more about college football than anybody I know cares about anything.
Really? That's right.
Sean and ratings?
Oh, man. Yeah.
Wow. That's a compliment right there, Carter. But as far as targeting goes, do you think targeting ruined football? No, or do you always disagree with it whenever it's called?
I just think that different conference officiating crews will give you their different interpretations of it. So like you might watch 2 different conference games and you're like, what the hell? That was the exact same play. Or if you could make your decision in less than 12 minutes.
Dude, that's what drove me nuts watching the Wings game the other night was how long it took them for, I don't even know if it was a foul or if it went out of, I don't have no clue. But I was like, come on, let's get this done with quicker and we can move on.
Yeah.
Hey, if you even want to go recent here in DFW, you could talk about the whole, you know, kick goal that happened in the Stars game.
Yes.
The other day where that review took, it felt like half an hour just to figure out. And they're like, okay, well, the textbook says, you know, kicking motion. But what is a kicking motion?
Yeah.
You know, so it's like they use these great words and some really fancy vocabulary to really say nothing in the end, which is why, you know, going back to the targeting thing, I think that's a great pull where you said, you know, different officiating crews, the exact same play. One group will say, yeah, that's targeting. Another will say it's not, even though I think in the rule book, it's actually pretty well defined. This is what targeting is, and they have multiple different scenarios when everybody has that same rule book, but still different crews from crew to crew, they have different opinions on if it breaks that rule or not. No, it is put in perfectly clear language. This is what it looks like. If it looks like this, call it. If it doesn't, then don't call it. Feels pretty simple, but there are a lot of really just dumb rules in sports.
Multiple people have said, the fumble out of the end zone. Be resulting in a turnover to the other team.
Oh, that one is the worst.
That one is awful. And the new kickoff rule came in from the 4-6-9.
Yeah, that doesn't, like, I thought it would be way more confusing than it actually is. That hasn't really bothered me a whole lot.
It hasn't bothered me other than the fact that I don't think it's just really achieving what the league thought it was going to. They made it seem like, oh yeah, it's going to boost, you know, kickoff returns by 70% while still keeping concussions down. It's like, well, you're still going to have people, especially if they get past a block quick, running at full speed, downhill towards a ball carrier.
Yeah.
It's still going to happen. So, yeah, I think the NFL is probably guilty of some of those, if not a lot of those. But on the other side of the coin, I get onto baseball for a lot of things that don't make sense. I feel like they've done a really good job with some of the rule changes here recently. I will say, though, like the changing of the size of the bags, I feel like I haven't noticed much of a difference in that. I just feel like that a lot of these prospects coming up are just naturally faster. So teams are more inclined to steal bases. I could be totally wrong. Somebody from MLB could hit me up and say, no, you're totally wrong.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
Want to catch up with the national pastime in a short time? Tune into the Morning Lineup podcast. Every weekday, in less than 10 minutes, we'll bring you all the wonderful...
He's done it again! See ya! A monster two-run home run!
All the wild...
Here comes Ramos! This game is over!
All the weird...
Contreras is chewing on the tape.
...that makes the MLB season special. Check out the Morning Lineup on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever since we changed the size of the bag, we've had tons of people stealing bases.
Man,
I don't know.
The ineligible man downfield from the 817, I think is too restrictive.
Yes.
If your lineman's like 12 yards down the field, I get it. Then you're like, it kind of looks like you're going to pass to that guy. But they're like,
But they have to have a line. I agree with you.
Push the line further.
You want how far down the line should be? How far? Is it 2 yards?
I thought it was three.
3 yards?
I think it should be like 7 yards. And I'm like, come on. You ran out there knowing that that looks like a screen.
That's
pass.
Enough space too.
Well, to
that's enough space to get a significant down.
Yeah.
I think it should be used as an advantage. I think it should be something that they can use.
And I know they just tweaked it, but the onside kick, having to declare that you're going to do an onside kick, it feels like it takes the element of game planning out of the game, which I think is 100% stupid.
Alec, I want you to keep going, but I think whoever's directing the Pat McAfee show right now needs to adjust one of these perspectives, because they have Tom Cruise, and his head alone is as big as Pat McAfee's entire body. And I think they need to either pull the camera in on Pat a little bit, pull it out on Tom Cruise just a little bit, because
Cruise's camera looks like it's cinema, dude.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like a really
It looks like
good,
a film grade
yeah,
camera.
Yeah.
I don't care for. I also, why is this happening?
That is
just
a great
to promote
question.
Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we did that too. So.
Well, that's fair.
Can't really throw stones on that, can I?
Yeah.
That was an awesome interview.
That was an awesome interview.
It was, but hey.
Because he was the right size in front of us.
This is intriguing. Pat McAfee and Tom Cruise on the same screen. That's odd. Anyways, McAfee, actually, I was telling Carter about this. He has a great bet going on for this series because Michael Cole, his broadcast partner on Monday Night Raw, is a Knicks fan. So if the Knicks win, McAfee has to do the full 3-hour show in a Michael Cole suit. But if the Pacers win, then Cole has to do the black tank top and shorts.
All right, obviously,
for Monday Night Raw.
I'm rooting for the Pacers.
Now. Yes.
I like Jalen Brunson, but I want to see that.
Yes, and I honestly don't care at this point. I just want to see Tyrese Halliburton and Jalen Brunson punch each other in a wrestling ring.
Yeah,
I think that would be amazing.
That would be awesome.
Corey, you're going to like this. This is from the Kay Adams Show. And she was talking at the Panini Rookie Premiere with Ashton Jeanty, who was selected by the Raiders. If you remember in college, he wore the jersey number 2. Number 2 was occupied by Daniel Carlson, the kicker. So, the kicker, he's a smart man. He might have saw Ashton Jeanty's $20+ million signing bonus and said, yeah, I'm not gonna give up number 2 easy. So, she asked what goes into that process.
I called him. I was like, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get that number 2, you know. I'm willing to negotiate, you know, whatever you're thinking. You know, I gave him what I was thinking, you know, first, and he came back, you know. And I'm like, hey, man, I got to do it. You know, I got to drop that little bag for number 2.
Like, are we talking like college tuition? Like, what are we talking?
Yeah, it's
like
up there.
A Accord? Like, what
now,
can you buy for that? A brand new Lexus? What are we talking?
So you could probably buy a house, like a nice size house. Like,
where can I buy a house for what you said? In Vegas on the outside?
Actually, no, I'm not gonna say a house. Not Vegas. I'm gonna say a car, like a nice Mercedes. You could buy like a Mercedes GLE.
He wasn't budging.
No, but the good thing,
he had that money.
He seen that signing bonus.
It's like,
but he was cool about it. But the good thing as well with it is some of the money is gonna be given to charity as well. So.
So he's going to donate some of it, Carlson.
Nice.
Will. But if you do the research, a Mercedes GLE, you could, depending on specs and everything, anywhere from like $60,000 to $100,000 is what it costed him
to
get the jersey number 2.
$76,400 MSRP right there, Kevin.
Oh,
so,
okay.
I mean, and if you obviously go to Platinum Chevy, you're going to get a great deal on any vehicle you find there. But
that's very
that
true.
Is that's a hefty number. I thought more like $150,000, but that's a pretty significant number still.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy and why so many NFL players want in on flag football. Next on The Fan.
Darnold getting messy, going deep, and he's got Jefferson. He's got Jefferson. It's a foot race downfield with Brown shifting gears, getting a block. That's 6.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to get to Gridiron Gravy in just 1 second, but I wanted to throw out a conversation that I actually had with Mike Bacsik via text yesterday. Well, first of all, I complained that he didn't text me, and he texted me, now I texted you, with a picture of Yankee Stadium. And he said, I'm trying to get to the graveyard in center field.
Okay, he told me this too.
Okay, and I said, thank you, good luck. But while I was typing that, he also said, that's where the Yankees legends are buried. And I said, and that's not where they are buried.
Mm-hmm.
And his response was, yes, it's in your contract. If you want to have your number retired, you have to give up the right to be buried with your family.
I, for a second, Kevin, 1/2 second.
Yeah.
I was like, what a ridiculous rule. But then I went, Mike's effing with me.
I did double check because I was like, that's wrong.
It's
but
ridiculous.
Then I was like, let me just double check this one
thing. Steinbrenner being like, look.
And so it's for Monument Park. And the first thing I saw was a troll Reddit thread that said, when they move Monument Park, how did they move all the bodies? And I was like, okay, now I get it. But I just wanted to say, if you think Mike has changed, he's still having a good old
still
time
Mikey B, baby.
Wherever he goes. Now, it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Dip it and rip it.
Let's start with flag football. Olympic flag football. Now, A.J. Brown has said he's not interested in Olympic flag football since it conflicts with training camp. I believe for most teams, because of its placement in the Olympics, it will end right before training camp. But I mean, like, right before training camp. And you brought up You brought up a really interesting point before the show, Corey.
Yep. That's what I do.
Justin Jefferson says playing flag football in the Olympics is a dream, and that's what he would like to do. And perhaps some other sports commentators and the DFW have naysayed this idea.
I heard somebody say, I thought that it would be, they would look at it as if it was beneath them. And Alec, I don't know how much high school coverage you've been involved with, but I know you've done some play-by-play. Kevin and I know we have a perspective that's very different when it comes to that. Five-on-five, flag football, seven-on-seven, we covered tournaments during the summer whenever Plano, all those schools would get together and have tournaments.
Dude. By the way, you said Plano because Alan, and I remember talking to the Alan coach. I was like, how come you guys don't really do this? They might do one tournament. He goes, yeah, well, you know what? Once they start adding offensive and defensive linemen, it'll be real football and we'll do it then.
Gotcha.
Like, okie dokie then.
But we covered it and those dudes loved it.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, we see it also when we go to training camp. Those guys do a lot of 7-on-7, even though it is, they're not hitting each other as hard. Does the practices just aren't as physical. Sure. Schottenheimer talked about that yesterday, but it's nostalgic for these guys. They played that as children, as middle school kids, as high school kids. They probably did it in college too.
Yep.
And I know a lot of us look at it as, oh, that's our intramural activity. But for them, it was high competition, even at that level. So for them, it's still it's a nostalgia thing, but they also look at it as competition, not just because I get to compete for my country, but because they were dominant at that.
Yeah.
And they just think about the best thing that you did when you were in high school. And do you really want to go back and do those? You imagine those things. That's probably how they still feel about it. And like I said, I think we're probably the only people that really understand that because we get to cover that whenever we were coming up in the business.
No, I'm with you on that. The kids would be so hyped to play flag football. And if you're like, yeah, that's when they were in high school, now they're adults, man, I don't think you lose all of that wonderment.
Oh, man.
Especially if you get to do a job like this or you get to play sports for a living. Like, you probably carry a lot of that, like, kind of childlike wonder or excitement with you along the way.
Yeah, think about how often they go in on their college football teams whenever they're playing against each other and they're like, all right, it's time for bets. I'm still rooting for my guys.
But at the same point, is there any part of you that thinks, all right, put together your little all-star team and we'll take these professional flag football teams and they will whoop your ass?
Absolutely, because the rules are different. The strategies are different.
Yeah.
It's interesting to hear somebody. Like, they're like, oh, man, a guy like Brady would probably eat this up. A guy like Lamar Jackson is really a beneficial person because
John Harbaugh's like, I prefer if you didn't.
Yeah, he runs away from people in flag football where it's very different for other standstill quarterbacks.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. Now, I want to go back to the tush push thing for just a second because I just want to make sure everyone understands how the vote went because it was 22-10 and the vote failed. And I get the sense that maybe some people think that 22 people said keep the tush push and 10 teams did not. That's not what happened. 22 teams said yes, eliminate the tush push.
Okay.
And 10 teams said no, but that doesn't pass the threshold of the 3/4 vote.
Bunch
so I just wanted to clear that up. So like the majority, 2/3 of the NFL teams voted to ban the tush push. More than 2/3, but it takes 3/4. And you need to get to 24 votes, and they only got to 22. Oh. Does that mean it'll be on the docket once again next year, and maybe it'll pass? I could see that.
Yeah, bunch of softies out there.
And that's the thing I hate. I just don't want to have to talk about it anymore. Ban it. Don't ban it. Just stop bringing it up.
Oh, they'll keep bringing it up.
Yeah.
For this specific reason, it keeps the headlines rolling.
I think you're probably right about that.
All right,
let's go from that to very fair. Let's go from that to
Are you okay, dude?
Okay. Joe Burrow.
Gerber?
But I was about to say Gerboa, which is like kind of like those jeans, not quite, but back in the 90s. So yes, that is how you got Gerboa. Joe Burrow, master of sarcasm. Man, I'm really thrown off. I'm sorry for my broadcasting incompetence. Joe Burrow, master of sarcasm. He pointed out that Cincinnati is going to play a week 13 game against the Baltimore Ravens. And so he goes, oh, neat. Playing in Baltimore for the fourth straight time in primetime this year is an ideal. Maybe we can get one of those in Cincinnati next year, please.
So he wants more of those, huh?
Well, he's like, have the game.
Yeah, just
can we host it once? Yeah, I
want my crowd. My crowd needs to be shown off just a little bit.
Do you think that the NFL will take that please to heart and they will change because of this?
That's a good question, because I often wonder how like the city's environment affects their decision to take something like that to that city. Like, do they look at Cincinnati and they're like, destination, can't wait to show off the city of Cincinnati to America? Or are they like, hey man, we it's really this bad chilly up here. And
yeah, if you don't
cold.
Like Skyline, we're in trouble.
And lots of cheese.
Yeah, that is.
The cheese covers up the bad chili taste.
Very true.
I'm sorry, Cincinnatians. Cincinnatiites.
I'm going to let you dwell on that. I got a couple of over-unders for you. Over-under, total number of Shedeur Sanders passing touchdowns this year.
10.
Ooh, okay. Alec, what say you?
3? I don't know.
See, it's 6.5. That's, I'm with you.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm with you. Shedeur Sanders is right now like 4th on the depth chart. Now, I know he'll probably move up until he gets cut. But right now, 6.5. I'm curious about how all those quarterbacks are going to work in Cleveland. 6.5 is the over-under for total passing touchdowns. 5.5 is the over-under for interceptions. I think he's going to hit the under on both of those just because I don't think right now he's going to play a whole ton.
Okay. I don't know what the... I feel like the cry is going to be up there for it a little
bit. Sure. Because they probably won't be good. And it's not like they're going to race out to 10-2 and people are like, we want Shedeur.
And when that happens, the backup quarterback is the most popular man in the city.
All right. Over-under number of games Jackson Dart will start this season.
6.
Ooh. Alec, what say you?
I like that number. I'll say 5.
All right. It has gone up from 1.5 to 2.5 to now 3. Now, I'm sure it will pivot back to a half either way.
Do they go to Winston before they go to Dart?
Yes. I think so, unless, man, it depends on what your record is. Because, like, let's say your record is 1-8, then what's the point? If you're 4-5 and you're like, I don't know, we could still get into that wild card spot, I think that's probably what they'll do. But if they're as bad as a lot of people, myself included, think they're going to be, then I think they will pivot to that. And they'll be like, okay, well, let's just go ahead and have Jackson Dart out there. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the Lions withdraw their reseeding proposal, but Corey thinks division titles are stupid and is ready to burn the system to the ground.
I didn't say, okay.
Next on The Fan.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
Want to catch up with the national pastime in a short time? Tune into the Morning Lineup podcast. Every weekday, in less than 10 minutes, we'll bring you all the wonderful...
He's done it again! See ya! A monster two-run home run!
All the wild...
Here comes Ramos! This game is over!
All the weird...
Contreras is chewing on the tape.
That makes the MLB season special. Check out the Morning Lineup on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.